This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. So if you're just joining us, the last hour, we spent time talking about the shooting at the Abundant Life, you know, Christian school in Madison. And, you know, I made some things clear. And before I get into the Elton John issue, and I just want to add something. I live in a community where killings from guns is just unbelievable. The sheer numbers of young people and innocent people who are killed by guns that 12 and 13-year-old children get their hands on. It is easier for children in central cities across this nation to get their hands on automatic weapons than there are for them to eat food. And the numbers are outlandish. And no outrage about that. Very seldom, if ever. If you look at the numbers, they're astounding. How does a 12-year-old boy get his hands on automatic weapons? You know, gun show loopholes, which are ridiculous to me. Just listen to the term, gun show loophole. Why the hell is there a loophole? You know it's not right. That's why you call it a loophole. And you can't fix that. So what is a gun show loophole? So I can go to a gun show, and I'm a guy who owns guns, and I can walk into a gun show, and nobody knows who I am, and I can sell my guns to people who are in the gun show. They don't have to check my background. They don't know whether I'm a criminal or not. They have no idea. They don't know if I'm a felon. You know how I know? Because I went to a gun show to see for myself. And I remember the licensed gun dealers telling me that I had to have a background check and a 24-hour, 48-hour waiting period. That was with licensed gun dealers. But the average everyday Joe who was there with his guns came up to me and said, "Are you a felon?" This is facts. I said, "No, I'm not a felon." He says, "Well, why would you want to buy a gun from a licensed dealer when I can sell it to you right now and you don't have to wait?" That's the gun show loophole. That's not a loophole. That's knowingly allowing somebody who's unlicensed to sell guns to anybody. How does that make any sense? All right, quickly, Tom from L.A.
Good morning, Earl. You know, it's money in politics.
Okay, so we know there's money in politics, Tom. Okay, how do you fix it? okay? The guns and the gun show loopholes and the gun lobbies and all of that. When is that going to stop?
The American people are going to have to stand up one way or another and get rid of money in politics. I mean, you keep saying it's an impossibility.
Well, Tom, I say it's an impossibility. I'm 70 years old. I think I know a little bit about the American people. I've lived long enough to understand. You know, I don't live in a pie-in-the-sky reality. The money in politics is there. Nobody's going to wave a magic wand and it's going to go away.
There in the 20s and 30s as well, and we actually got it out of politics for quite some time when we actually raised the taxes on the millionaire class at that time, which would be the billionaire class this time. So, you know, the thing is, there was a way, apparently, that we got rid of it before.
Okay.
So if I'm just someone that's going to say, oh, it's just not going to happen, then I guess it's never going to happen. I'm a person that believes in solutions.
Hey, Tom. Let me just be straight up with you, man. You're not the only person who believes in solutions, right? You're not. And so because I don't buy into, you know, the constant harping of, you know, money in politics as the solution to all the issues that we're dealing with, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tell me what the solution then is, Earl, because what happens is if you have a person that's running for office, the only way they get into office, 94% of every election that's won is won by the person that spends the most money.
Hey Tom. Okay? So hey, Tom, I know about the way the system works, my friend. You don't have to educate me on it. Go ahead.
I know that. I'm just having a conversation. So what I'm saying to you, though, is that if you have a person that's in Congress and they run in favor of gun safety, I don't call it gun control. I call it gun safety because I think that's where Democrats make a big mistake. I am a pro-life person.
Okay.
I believe in kids not getting shot in schools. But my point is that what happens is then they come back to their district and they have 10,000 ads on the TV that tell them that, hey, this person is against guns.
Hey, Tom, didn't I just say 60% of the American people don't own guns? So if the answer is money in politics, but yet 60% of the American people don't own guns, that means 60% of the American people aren't supporting those who, who believe in that.
Again, you know how it is. The silent minority sure makes a ruckus. Look what they did on January 6th. I mean, they're the ones that made the ruckus. They're the ones that get the microphone. They're the ones that get the social media. They're the ones that get the attention.
Hey Tom, you know, I'm just, you know, again, but money in politics, we know it exists. Okay? And you seem to think differently than I do, that somehow they're going to wave a magic wand, and that's going to disappear. I don't. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Rita from La Crosse. Good morning to you, Rita. You say what?
I say these people have guns. They have to have them insured because you think the insurance companies are going to want to pay out for all these shootings and stuff? No, they aren't. They don't even like to pay out for just regular health. So I suggest they have to be insured. And also, parents have to be responsible for their children getting guns.
You know, I agree that parents certainly should be responsible. I mean, that young girl who got her hands on what I think is pretty sure her father's gun, he's got to be responsible for that. You know, the fact that she could get her hands on the gun to just take into the schools, you know, it doesn't bring anybody back. But, yeah, he certainly didn't do his due diligence. I don't wish that on anybody. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan, quickly.
Well, actually, I just want to Actually, I just wanted to kind of comment on the topic you're going on to next with the Elton John.
Okay,
topic.
Well, hang on. Let me get into it. Okay, so here's the deal. So Elton John criticized the legalization of marijuana, saying it's addictive and impairs cognitive thinking. I maintain that it's addictive. It leads to other drugs, John. John, who was named Icon of the Year by Time magazine, told the outlet. And when you're stoned, and I've been stoned, you don't think normally. Legalizing marijuana in America and Canada is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. John, 77, looked back on his experiences with drugs, saying that cocaine was his drug of choice after being introduced to the narcotic by former manager and lover John Reed. Following the death of his friend Ryan White, who contracted AIDS from a blood transfusion, John checked into Chicago's Parkside Lutheran Hospital in July 29, 1990, and has remained sober ever since. I'm a guy who used to smoke a lot of weed. I'm just, you know, I don't have anything to hide. I enjoyed my time smoking weed. I didn't smoke my first joint until I was 19 years old. So I was an adult legally by the time I smoked my first joint. I smoked weed for 20 years. You may not believe it. I told you I didn't fall down out of heaven, Calvin. So, I used to enjoy smoking weed, but I was a grown man. There are children. And the quality of the weed that I was smoking, that we were smoking back then, based on what I hear from people from my generation who are still smoking weed, was nothing compared to the strains of the weed that they have now. And I told you, I spent 12 years in the school system. And children would come to school high. 14 years old, 13 years old. You could smell it. In no position to learn. There's no way an educator can get through to a child who's stoned at 8 o'clock in the morning. And weed is so pervasive in the society now that I kind of find myself agreeing with Elton John. 855-752-4842. We're going to delve even deeper, because it really is time that we have the conversation, and we're going to have it this morning on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, I'm talking about an article that Elton John wrote last week, and it's appeared in almost every periodical. And it is the fact that Elton John, the Time icon of the year, has said that one of the biggest mistakes of all time is the legalization of marijuana. And he says it's one of the greatest mistakes of all time. And I am saying to you that as a guy who smoked weed for 20 years, and, you know, I didn't, the potency of the weed that was around when I was smoking weed pales in comparison from everything that I hear from people who are still smoking weed. And especially the government's, the quality of the weed that the government sells. Now, I understand, you know, Tom always says it's about money. It is about money. The reason that the government got in the weed business is because the amount of money that they make. But the damage that is being done. You know, Elton John talked about, you know, when I started smoking weed, you know, I remember the first time I smoked a joint. My friend said, it's not addictive. Hey, Calvin, he told me it's not addictive. But 20 years later, I was still smoking weed. Now, people say, well, it's not addictive. Well, I don't know. You know, if alcohol is addictive, if cigarettes are addictive, then marijuana is addictive. Anything that alters your mood is addictive. And so that constant harping about it not being addictive is just not true. And so legalizing it, certainly putting more on the market, they say, well, it'll end the black market, it'll end all the crime. It did not. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to push back on you now because now you're just becoming a knee-jerk reactive American who, you know, nobody has to be responsible for anything. Let's take everything out of anybody's hands that might help them in some way. And I was raised by two alcoholics. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink, okay? But I do enjoy a little gummy on the weekend at a responsible time when I'm not leaving my house. But the medicinal purposes of marijuana and the other things that marijuana does, look, yeah, the government took a hold of it because they realized there was a fortune to be made in taxes on marijuana. But we got to stop going to this place. The two conversations you've had so far today are parallel. A young girl comes to school with a gun. The kids that you saw in school, you could smell the marijuana on them. It always makes it down to kids when adults aren't responsible, okay? And the idea is, and I know here in the state I live in, when you go into a dispensary, they check your ID, then they send a shopper with you. It's not like a liquor store where you can just go in and just pick out what you want, go to the counter, and if you have something that looks like the state ID, they'll sell it to you, and if you look old enough. The other thing I would ask you is when you're talking about addictive drugs like cocaine, when's the last time you saw somebody scratching their arm at an ATM at 2 a.m. in the morning because they needed another joint? I don't think that happens, okay? And yeah, anything you
let me say this to you, Brendan. Okay, I told you I smoked weed for 20 years, okay? So I'm not talking about something I don't know. So was I addicted to marijuana? I smoked it for 20 years. So I would say, yes, I can talk about me, okay, because I no longer smoke weed. I chose not to. So was I addicted to weed for 20 years? If I smoked it for 20 years, for me, yes, I was, because I did it every day. Now, you may have been strong enough to not be addicted to it, and others may have been strong enough not to be addicted to it. I'm telling you about me. and what I did and what others that I knew did. So let's stop acting like it's not addictive. It is. Go ahead.
Anything's
my point, man.
Correct? I mean, if you have Tourette's, so you know, it's your, what I'm trying to say is okay. That was your journey. I get it. Okay, fine. But America cannot become this knee-jerk reaction place where Elton John, who was a serious coke head for many years, I get it. He stays away from it now. He needs to stay clean. Okay, I can pass by a full bar and not ask anybody for a drink. I can walk by somebody smoking pot and not ask for a hit. Okay, we need to take responsibility for ourselves.
So let me say this to you, Brendan. Let me say this to you. You know, for those who are strong enough, like Brendan, who can get beyond it, you know, bully for you. Congratulations. But there are far too many people who are not, right? And who don't have the intestinal fortitude that Brendan has, you know. And when kids get a hold to it, it's not a good thing. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're going to continue the conversation. Your thoughts.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let me, you know, I'm talking about an article that Elton John, you know, put out in 2 weeks ago that's everywhere now. And he talks about... that he believes it's a mistake for our nation to legalize marijuana. And as I thought about it, you know, I hadn't given it a second thought. And again, you're talking about a reform guy who did that for 20 years. And I'm not ashamed. You know, when I was smoking weed, I enjoyed it. And, you know, and so anybody who's still doing that, that's fine. They have every right to do that. You know, I've chosen, you know, to not do it. That doesn't make me exalt me above anybody else. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue it. I just think that, and, you know, Brendan clearly stated that, you know, there are people who are strong enough themselves, strong enough themselves to not allow it to control them. But there's a lot more people who don't fall in that category. And it is addictive. And probably more so now than it was when I was smoking. You know, and, you know, I remember when I was smoking weed, Calvin, I would take a newspaper and I would try to read the newspaper. And I'd read a paragraph or read a couple sentences and could not comprehend what the couple sentences were that I read. That may be the same with alcohol. I don't know. Alcohol was never my drug of choice. So I was never a guy who drank a lot. You know, I was a guy who chose pot. But, you know, once I tried to read a paragraph, I'd have to read the same paragraph four or five times to even try to get some understanding. Weed is a mood-altering substance, like alcohol. And, you know, and like, you know, barbiturates, you know, and all the other drugs that people take. And, you know, the easy accessibility to it. Let me be clear. My perspective on this always comes from the perspective of what's in the best interest of young people. And so, Brendan, I will say that if adults want to do that, fine, right? Never right to do that. But my thing is always young people have gotten access to things that are altering their makeup at far too young of ages. And it's just horrible, man, to see the impact of what has happened and continues to happen. And, you know, alcohol is no better. Let me just clearly state that. Alcohol is no better. As a matter of fact, it's probably even worse because of the damage it does to, you know, your organs. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, go ahead.
What I would like you to do is I would like to hear from the medical society, because I know that they have done research on both alcohol and marijuana use, especially with women who are pregnant, and how it affects the children that are born, and also the development of the brain. Do people realize your frontal lobe, which has your common sense, has your empathy and your concern, those things do not fully develop until you're 18 years old. So when we have children smoking marijuana or have access to anything of that nature, it affects their brain development. And do we wonder why? I know that someone had said that vaccines called ADHD. What effect does alcohol and marijuana have on ADHD? Why are we experiencing so many children who are born with ADHD? Those are the things that I would like to see. And I would like that the medical society, doctors, nurses, who actually work in this genre, come on and speak about what they see. I think people will be surprised.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. You know, just the fact that, here, according to Tony, I've done some work for recovery places in the past, and they would say alcohol was the most dangerous because it's so socially acceptable and accessible. There's no question, man. You know, I will say that if you alcohol is accepted in the society, always has been, and encouraged for people, you know, to get drunk or to get high. You know, you can't go to a basketball, a football game or a baseball game and go to tailgating and not see where people are encouraged to get, you know, blasted before they even go to a game. You know, you go before you go to the Packer game, people are out in the parking lot. They get drunk before they go into the park, before they go into the game, because it costs too much to buy the liquor inside of the stadium. So people get drunk outside of the stadium. That's all acceptable. And then the very same people get in cars and drive while drunk. Because as a society, alcohol is accepted. I get that. You know, alcohol was just never one of the things that I enjoyed doing. And even to this day, just was not my choice. I just know that there's something that is... The American people don't need more time to get high. What we need is more time to have lucid thought and open-mindedness about some things that are going on in the society that has definitely made victims of all of us. You know, we need clear minds to address things that are happening to us. And again, I'm not opposed to anybody having a joint. I'm not. And I understand the rationale and the reasons why. You know. And does this make Elton John a villain? Because Elton John said that? Well, you know, I'm looking at some of the responses about, you know, what kind of person Elton John is and all those kind of things. Whatever he is or was, thank God he straightened his life out. You know, I'm not in a position to, you know, criticize anybody. I'm not. Nor is any of us. Because all of us, you know, have kind of fallen short. His opinion on what and the reason that he was trying to reach out was all predicated, from my perspective, on trying to help people, not to try to tear people down. And so anybody who's in the business of trying to help people, I'm with. I support that 100%. People are trying to tear other people down. I'm definitely opposed to that. It's the reason that I brought this article up. And I think, you know, those are the kind of things we need to have more conversations on, and how we keep it out of the hands of children. As I said, I was 18 years old before I did it, you know, not 12 or 13. That's what we are seeing now. And there's got to be a way, you know, to fix that. 855-752-4842. You know, I'm going to, as we enter into the last segment of the program, I'm going to talk about the politrickster of the day. Let's go to Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. I have a bone to pick with you and others at Civic Media. Since my wife, Judy, discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media and all the rest. And you are one of the ringleaders, you young whippersnapper. But yeah, we go out cutting firewood, and usually around 8 o'clock, and I cut the wood, and my wife has to put it in the truck, and she has it in her hood listening to you. And so anyway, I just want to thank you and the rest of you at Civic Media, and hope we have a good day and lighten up a little bit on some of the callers like Tom. Anyway, have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege, number one, to have anybody take the time out, you know, to listen to me. I'm a guy. I'm a blue-collar guy, man. You know, that's who I am. At my heart is a guy who, for 34 years, worked in industry. That's what I did. I'm not a highbrow guy, man. I'm not. Never have been, never will be. I'm a blue-collar guy. So, you know, like many people, you know, used to think a blue-collar guy puts on a brown sock and a blue sock, you know, because he doesn't know any better. You know, that's who I am, man. I get my beliefs and all of it from being a working-class person, man. I grew up in that environment. I'm still that person. I'm going to always be that person. I don't know about the finer things in life. I've never had them, and I won't have them by the time, you know, my number is called. But what I do know is, you know, what's important to the average person, because I'm the average person. 855-752-4842. Up next, the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show.
Santa came down the chimney, half past three, y'all. Left all him a good old present for my baby and for me. Merry Christmas, baby. Should he treat me nice?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And as promised, the politrickster of the day, Representative-elect Brandon Gill, a Republican in Texas, who said the nation needs a lot more Daniel Pennies, calling the Marine veteran who was found not guilty of homicide in the New York City subway trial. And called him a patriot. I don't know about you all, but I think we need a lot more Daniel Pennies in the country because we have far too many Jordan Neelys, Gill said at the New York Young Republicans Club event Sunday evening. Well, Jordan Neely was a disabled young man who clearly had some demons. And, you know, homeless. And certainly, you know, was facing some demons in his life. But I don't think taking his life makes you a hero. I don't think here's a guy who didn't have a weapon and whose life was taken by, you know, excuse me, Daniel Penny, and he's moving around the Republican circles now like he's a hero. He reminds me of a guy in Kenosha named Kyle Rittenhouse who killed a couple innocent men. Kyle Rittenhouse, who became a hero, Republican hero. And even to this day, you know, he wound up wealthy and was looked at as a hero for killing innocent people. So I want to say to you, Representative Brandon Gill, I don't know what rot you crawled out from under. But on the side that I come from, when you murder somebody, you know, because of threats that they make and they don't have any weapons, and you get to walk away. And Brendan is right. Bernie Getz was another one, subway killer. You're not a hero. And if you can't discern the difference, you know, Representative Brandon Gill from Texas, that's the reason why you are the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show. You know, we've got to get back to a time, if we ever can, where common sense comes into play and right is right and wrong is wrong and there's a dividing line between the two. But we're at a point in this society where there is no dividing line. When you put somebody in a chokehold and you feel their body go limp, and you're still applying pressure, and people tell you to stop, and you keep doing it anyway, and you take the person's life, and you get to walk away, and people say, well, okay, well, that was just a bad guy. You know, Jordan Neely was a bad guy, and there's one less bad guy, you know. And you get canonized as some big hero, then something is wrong. And when politricksters like Brandon Gill, who's new to the game, but he's not so new to the game that he doesn't understand that he can make statements like he made, and there'll be people who cheer him on. But on the Earl Ingram Show, we're not looking for that. Well, I am. I'm looking for guys like him because we're going to make sure that people get to know, you know, him as the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, everybody, who made the show go. Really appreciate it. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madner. Madner on air. See you guys tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.